Welcome to Edgecast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Laura.
So today we're diving into common errors and pitfalls in the world of digital accessibility. It's important for everyone to be aware of these issues. Throughout Laura and my discussion, we'll shine a light on shared challenges that organizations and individuals may face on their journey to create a more inclusive online environment.
Yeah, so building a digitally accessible environment is really important because it makes sure that everyone, regardless of their abilities, can really fully engage with and benefit from online content. By addressing these common errors and pitfalls that you're talking about, we really empower organizations and individuals to contribute to a more inclusive digital space. I think that this will not only align with the ethical standards that we've discussed in some of our previous episodes, but it really also opens up the opportunity for a broader audience engagement and a more positive user experience. So breaking that down a little bit, in essence, prioritizing digital accessibility is just a step toward creating a more fair and accessible online world for everyone.
So while developing digital resources, the primary goal is not to exclude individuals with disabilities. However, if accessibility is not a top priority during the development process, there's a risk of limiting a significant portion of your audience from accessing and engaging with the content.
Yeah, so for those unfamiliar with accessible development and design of digital resources, initiating the journey can really be challenging and maybe even daunting. For me, a practical approach just involves, first step, assessing the current accessibility status of your digital content. And well, the true first step should be, before doing a really comprehensive accessibility audit, a good place to start would be to understand what the key indicators are that you're really looking for.
Yeah, so before we discuss the common accessibility issues, let's define what they are. You know, accessibility issues are going to be a barrier that hinder a person with a disability from equally accessing, navigating, or engaging with your digital content.
That's right. So understanding how these issues happen will involve recognizing how people with disabilities interact with their digital resources, services, or any other content that's provided to them. Individuals with disabilities may access websites differently based on factors like their specific disability or just personal learning preference.
For example, some may rely on keyboard-only navigation due to the inability to use a mouse with mobility issues, motor issues, while others use assistive technologies such as screen readers or sip and puff devices. So creating inclusive digital content that caters to diverse abilities not only expands your potential audience and revenue, but it protects against legal issues, you know, and enhances your brand image, makes you look better because you're making sure your content is available to everyone regardless.
Yeah, so as we've discussed in some of our previous episodes, as per the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, WCAG, 2.1, there are actually 78 criteria that measure accessibility success. That being said, not all of them are going to be specific and applicable to the content that you're producing and giving out. So on the flip side, there are going to be some particular accessibility issues that are commonly observed across various sectors and industries that really everyone should recognize. So I think a key component of our discussion today should be to focus on those easily noticeable ones that you can really be on the lookout for.
Yeah, I think the biggest one that tends to be brought up most often, the most frequent issue we usually see is insufficient alternative text for images, the alt text, the alt tags. This can be tough for users with visual impairments who rely on screen readers to understand the content. They can't see the image, so the alt tags help them explain what that image is.
Right, so adding that descriptive alternative text is really going to be key. It's important to not only just add the alternative text though, but to make sure that it's detailed and informative. Sometimes descriptions might fall short. The provided alt text might be too basic or nondescript, which really lowers the effectiveness for users who rely on it.
Yeah, so often people just assume that images are decorative and that gets them a pass, but you know, we need to make sure we're descriptive about them. Another common snag we find is a poor heading structure. You know, this can make it hard for users to navigate and grasp the content. So headings are like signposts guiding users through information. It's crucial to organize them properly, making it easier for everyone to understand the hierarchy and flow of the content in H1, H2, H3 in a correct order.
Yeah, you're right. So clear and well-structured headings really just help users navigate through documents and websites and content smoothly. It's not just about adding headings, though. The consistency of the headings matter too. So consistent heading styles just create a predictable and understandable experience, and that helps assistive tools that people use a lot more efficient.
So moving on to another really common one, and that's color contrast issues. You know, when there's not enough contrast between the text and the background color, it can pose challenges for users with visual impairments or color blindness. You know, if you blue on purple, or, you know, these, you know, light gray on white, you know, things like that. Think of it this way. It's like trying to read a faint message on a light background or vice versa. You know, for some users, that's a real barrier.
I know I have a hard time reading things that are so close in color. Again, with consistency here, it's not only about the initial design. We really need to be mindful of the color choices throughout any updates that are rolled out, creating new content. So consistency really ensures an accessible experience for everyone. I think another common error is keyboard accessibility. Some websites or applications may not be able to navigate using only a keyboard, which really is going to exclude users who use this method because of motor disabilities.
Right. It's not just about navigating. Interactive elements like buttons and links should be easily accessible via keyboard input. Right, and it's not only about navigating. Interactive elements like buttons and links should be easily accessible via keyboard input. Now, the button text should also tell you where you're going. You know, screen readers should be able to give a detailed description of what the link is for. So instead of saying like, click here, or, you know, just something like that. Also, remember to not use underlining to stress words or a message, because this can be confused or misconstrued as a link to screen readers or users.
I think it's really important that, you know, we're thinking through how assistive tools are going to be utilizing the content that we're putting out. So now let's touch on time-sensitive content. Some content like auto-playing videos or slideshows can be really problematic for users who need more time to consume that information and process it because of cognitive disabilities or even just slower internet connections.
Yeah, and while we're on the topic of multimedia, captions for videos are essential. You know, they don't only benefit users with hearing impairments, but also those in noisy environments or situations where sound is not ideal. Captions enhance the overall user experience and make the content accessible to a wider audience.
Yeah, so another common accessibility pitfall is form input errors. When we can provide clear instructions and error messages to users who have cognitive disabilities or those who are using screen readers, this is going to be really critical for them. Without clear instructions and error messages, users may not be able to complete forms or may struggle to complete them or even just follow through with content progression. This particular accessibility pitfall can really make the overall learning experience frustrating and exclusionary.
Yeah, so lastly, let's not forget about website testing. You know, regularly testing your digital content or web application with various assistive technologies and devices is crucial. Often, organizations assume their digital content is accessible without thorough testing, leading to overlooked issues.
Yeah, accessibility is an ongoing process, not a one-time task. Overlooking digital accessibility can result in legal consequences, damage to brand reputation, but honestly, most importantly, exclusion of a significant portion of your audience. I'm going to say it again, as I've said it multiple times before in our previous conversations, accessibility is not just a checkbox. It's really a commitment to creating that inclusive online digital learning environment for everyone.
And that commitment goes beyond avoiding those legal issues and preserving brand reputation. You know, when a digital platform isn't accessible, it sends a message of exclusion to a diverse audience. You know, this exclusion isn't limited to individuals with disabilities. It extends to anyone who might face barriers in accessing content, whether due to varied abilities, different devices, or unique preferences.
That's right. Exclusion really is the core issue in accessibility pitfalls. So when we exclude a significant portion of the audience from fully participating in the digital experience that we're trying to provide to them, it's just a missed opportunity for institutions and organizations to connect with the broader, more diverse audience.
And it's not just about numbers, you know, it's about creating a positive and inclusive digital space. So when you prioritize accessibility, you're sending a powerful message that your organization values diversity and is committed to providing an equal welcome experience for everyone. Well, there's always more to talk about, but for now, let's wrap this one up. Thanks for watching, as we hope you can join us in our next episode. And until then, this is Edgecast logging off.